I hope that something will be said today that will stay with you. And I'm going to come today from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. I'm not going to use the King James Version today. I'm going to stick with the Greek all the way through. The text is 3 and 2, and the above, mind ye, are not of the things of the earth. Okay. The text is strongly indicative or designated. It is applied to the whole church at Colossae. The author let us know that we could be involved with what is said because it teaches all of us. This is one of the apostles' most cerebral texts, which spans the creation to personal and homely matters. It's wonderful to see a man so talented in all phrases of the scripture. In the first part of it, he covers the marriage relationship. He covers the marriage relationship of our kids, the Jew, the barbarian, the bond, the free. He covers them all. This is truly a remarkable epistle. This epistle is in the important, has two important parts. The first part deals with the believer's union with Christ, now and henceforth. Colossians chapter 1, or 3, verses 1 through 4. And part two, Christian living for the union of Christ, 3:5 to 4:6 in Colossians. Paul deals with our future home as well as our as the essentials down here. And I enjoyed studying for this epistle because it was a lot of things in there that I got out of it. And let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1.
Amen.
You were, says our reader today is Elder Liberman. Elder Liberman, do you read verse 1, please, in the Greek?
Okay. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse in the Greek interlinear. If, therefore, ye were co-raised with Christ, the things above seek, where Christ is at the right hand of God, sitting.
Okay. You were co-raised with Christ, above on the right hand of God, and he lets us know that, and so that's important. We're going to see through the text later on. And then in verse 2 he says, the above things mind ye, not the things of the earth. And that particularly struck me because we have a lot of times people that get caught up with the airs of things that are going on out here in the world, and we just let it take control of our lives. And there's no reason for that. But we're going to be coming back to this scripture more and more as we go on into the lesson. And he gives us a bird's eye view of the things. He takes us off the earth here, and he puts us on top here. And we can look down and see the things that we're going about, and we're going about to try to cover and everything. It doesn't make sense because he takes us to the point where we can see from the bird's eye view rather than a broad view of just horizontal view, And he has us looking at it from the bird's eye view and able to look down.
Yeah, man.
All right? And so he says here in verse 3, ye died for, and the life of you have been hidden in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he lets us know here that he starts off, says, ye died, the life of you has been hidden in Christ.
Right.
And he goes over to Colossians. We go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. And he lets us know here what he's saying. If ye died with Christ from the elements of the world, why as living world are ye subject to his decrees? Taste not, touch not, and all these things. He's called us to a higher standard. A higher standard than the Jewish nation, which was see, feel, touch, hear, and smell. Everything with the Jews was see, feel, touch, hear, or smell. But he takes us to a higher level than that. And that he takes us to, well, we are above the taste not, touch not, and all of those things. And he's going to be reinforcing this all the way through the epistle. So whenever, for it says, whenever Christ is manifested, the life of us, ye with him, will be manifested in glory.
Right.
And he lets us know that whenever Christ is manifested, we're going to be manifest with him in glory.
Yes.
Amen. Taking us off of the scene here and taking us into the glory of Christ. And that's something for us to be, us to really think about. Why are we worried about the things that happen down here? If everything here is temporary, there is nothing on this earth here that's, that we come in contact with is not going to be here forever.
Right.
Only we are, and we're going to be with Christ.
That's right.
All of the things here that we put so much emphasis on, and whether it's our cars, our clothes, and all this stuff is just temporary. But we can't seem to get it through our head. We seem to think that we have to have this or have that. You know, you can be happy with just a few things.
All right.
You don't need a whole lot. You don't need a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now, well, I'm going to go on. But when Christ is man, so we should be. And so he says, put ye to death the members on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All of these things that we, and see, if you look at that picture there, that covers all of us. It covers all of us. Now, it might not cover us as much because we've got some knowledge now about the grace of God that's been given us to us by Jesus Christ, who called us out before the foundation of the world. But for the most part, mainstream, church, people and everything, they still got their mind on the different things that I've named here. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, desire, all of this stuff. And all of it doesn't mean a hill of beans. And it just amazes me how we get entangled with these things. And we just let it ruin it. It ruins our lives. Amen. Sister Karen was saying in her message the other Sunday, that we look at all of these things here and all of these things that we look at and everything. And but we, if we look to the Word of God, we've got everything covered. Everything is covered. But we just got to be in with the have this and that and all. But it doesn't mean a thing. Amen. So everything here is temporary. Because of which things is coming the wrath of God. You put your desires and all your thoughts on this fornication and passion and all this crazy stuff. That's what the world does. That is indicative of the world. But you have been called out. Therefore, live as you've been called out. You know, we follow these crazy soap operas and all this crazy mess and the things we look at on TV and everything. That's not becoming a Christian. That thing has brought more trash in our homes than we can shake a stick at. Everything now is, you know, well, what's happening on this? What's happening? Who cares what's happening on it? Who cares? It's all a bunch of mess anyway. In which indeed you walk and then you live those things. You walk with them and lived in them. And all of these things that he's saying. See, what he's saying is he's taking us from the broad view to the earth, to the heavenly view, and saying, this is how you should live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm giving you an example of Christ who lived and died for us, mm-hmm. and I'm giving you the example of you to live like him. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Don't live like the world.
Jesus.
Everything we have, you know what? The world is going to be the world. I was telling the boys down there at the youth home Friday that I have a ministry. I go down there and I was talking to them and I was talking to them about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I was telling them about all the different things about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, they sat and they listened real well. I said to myself, I hope that you listen and will follow up and learn about the Lord. And I told him, I said, you at hardball level now. You mess up down here one more time, you're going to prison. And you're going to be caught in and going to be put up there with those men that's twice your age and twice as wicked. And you won't have anything to say about what happens to you, anything. I said, now's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Now, I know that that's the wrong message for the wrong time, but I had to say it. Mm-hmm. Amen. But now he says, put away these things, all these things, in the 8th verse. Now, but now put away also ye all things, wrath, anger, malice, blasphemy. You see why he says that in verse 2 that set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth? He's saying it for a reason. He's saying it for you to, you know, it's not just something that Paul wrote and said, well, it says, I set your affection on things above, and he's telling you to do them. When you have affection for somebody or something, it means something to you. It's something that's special to you. It's not like the world here. The world doesn't care anything about you. It doesn't care a thing about you. It has no love for you at all. And I wish that we could see that. But we have just as crazy. And, you know, everybody, you know, everything that somebody else is doing, we got to do. Somebody's got a new house, but we got to get a new house. Somebody's got a wall TV. We got to get a wall TV. Yeah. Well, somebody's got a new car. Yeah, a new car. Everything here, we follow the world. It's just like those dogs. They give them something to set to follow, and we follow right behind it. We don't need that. We don't need it at all. We need to get into the Word of God. And to study his word and to let it become a part of us and that we live a life that's pleasing to Him. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And as long as we're following the world and doing all these crazy things that the world does, we're going to be in the shape that we're in. We're following where we're going. Well, we got self-doubt and all kinds of things happening in our lives because we're following the world instead of following Christ. He's making it plain to you to get into His Word and stay in His Word. Don't dabble in and dabble out. I try to study every day my Bible, and I read so much every day, and I'm going to try to do it until the day I die, because that means more to me than anything else. And all of the stuff that we have that comes before us and everything, if we would just take time and just step back and look at the purpose, and then take another look at it and then say, well, maybe it wasn't meant for me to have this or have that. But we don't want to do that. We want to follow and follow and follow. And I'm here to tell you that when we do this and we do that, it's not doing anything but messing up our lives with God. God has called you specifically to be a chosen vessel for Him. And by you being a chosen vessel, that means to study, to do the things that He wants you to do in the Word here, and live for Him and nothing but Him. Verse 9, not lie to one another, having part of this old man, the practice of him. I'm going to start going to some scriptures here. I should have gone through. Well, let's go back here to put away the wrath and anger and blasphemy. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. You as regards to your former conduct, the old man being corrupted to the lust of deceit. So there's nothing good about the biggest fight that you're going to have when you come into the area of being realizing who you are, being called out by God. The biggest fight that you're going to have is with yourself. Self is the biggest thing that's standing between you and God. Self is the biggest hindrance between you and God. Every time you want to do something, you got to take in consideration, is it worth me sacrificing myself to do this worldly thing, or am I going to live for God and do the right thing? And if we were absolutely honest with ourselves, we would take a look at ourselves and say, did I do the right thing? It's a shame, but most of us don't. And myself included. The biggest problem that you have is with yourself. Not lie to one another, having put off the old man, which separates the practices of him. The old man is with you until you die. And the thing is that we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and all through our lives we're dealing with the old man, and we're called out by God, but we still got the old man to contend with. And it's not going to be straight until it dies, and it's just the sin, the old man, that the sin is in his body, dies or destroyed. God take you home, away from this mess. Be renewed in full knowledge, according to the image of one created in creating him. Conflict over with us, so it's always something. And you know what? This old wicked fella is with you every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It never stops. And what do? If we're not into the Word, we're going to do the thing that's not in the Word. Only the Word will keep you straight. And that means going back over and over and over. A little bit here and a little bit there. A little here and a little there. Old Testament, New Testament, and most of all, Paul's epistles, to get into the Word of God. And when we do that, then we'll see a change in our lives. It takes time. It doesn't all happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. But the thing is, it will be a change in your life. Because you'll start to see some things that will happen to you that you didn't think would happen. But because of being into the Word of God, it will make a change in your life.
Glory to God. Yeah. Amen.
I'm just telling you like it is. The Word will change you. And it's the only thing will change you in this wicked life. This evil, wicked present age, that's the only thing that you got that will carry you through the right way. Put on therefore as chosen ones of Christ, of God, holy, and having love, laws, compassion, kindness, and humility, and meekness and long suffering. All that's discovered, all that's the saying is to be like Jesus. He's given us an example to go by.
Amen.
And if we would take it to our mind to follow him and kind of do these things that come up on us all the time, we don't have to have it where we got a bend and toe-tow to the world. We have to start to take a stand and say, I'm not going to do it. And when you take that stand, God will be with you. But you got to be in his Word. And you got to, and when you read it, you got to believe it. A lot of times people will read the Word, but they don't believe it. This for somebody else and not for me. It's for you, all of us. Then he says in verse 13, forgiving one another as forgiving yourselves as a complaint that God forgave you. So all you forgive. Also you forgive. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. If the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin, then why are we going around doing the things we're doing and not asking for forgiveness and not doing what we should be doing with God? Why are we coming to church? Why are we making a sham of God by not doing what we're supposed to be doing? It is something to behold and something to see. A man who is loving God and trying to do what God wants him to do. D.L. Moody on his deathbed, knows a man that D.L. Moody said he had witnessed to, and the man became was a great evangelist. And on his deathbed, man, Moody was there, and he said to him, "What is it that you think that you would like to do?" And he said that words went something like this: "The world is yet to see what a man who is tuned into God can do." And Moody said, "I will be that man." And on Moody's deathbed, he said almost the same thing. Because these things come into our lives, and they let them get in it, and it just ruins our lives, and a lot of times it ruins us before God. We have a God that created 13 billion light years out, that created billions of galaxies and everything, and he, all of the black holes and all of the things that's happening outside of the universe and outside of our solar system here, all these things, he has to pry over and watch. And yet he still takes the time to listen to me and my prayer. No matter what it is, and no matter how minor it is, he still listens to my prayer. Thank God for a God like that. You see, I couldn't be one of those people that come around, the Christian people come out and they got their God around. That's you carrying your God. I want a God that I can go to any time, day or night, and he's carrying me no matter what it is. That's what I've got with Jesus. Over all of these things, love is the bond of completeness. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter tells us some things about love. First of all, he says, just a couple of verses, "And if in tongues of men I speak of angels, but love I have not, I have become a brass sounding or a tinkling cymbal," or a cymbal, a tinkling. All of the things that, well, let's say verse 2. He says, "And if I have prophecy and know the mysteries all and all, knowledge if I have all, faith as mountains to remove, love, but I have not, nothing and I am." That's what he's saying is, you know what, you're exhibiting love, but you don't have it. You're boasting and you're doing all these things, but I did this, I did that, and all that. But the true measure of a man is what he does and not see, but what he does and is only seen by God, or with what he does, he's humble about what he's doing. You can talk about you doing this and you doing that and everything, but if your life is messed up and everything you see is messed up around you, I doubt if you got love. But over all these things, you know, in other words, all these things that we are talking about here, over all of them, we have love, which is the bond of completeness. We one day, thank God, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be on this earth forever. I'm going to leave like everybody else. But I've got my mind set on a higher standard. Just being able to be with Jesus. And being able to judge the world and to judge angels. And most important of all, things that God planned for me that I have not seen or heard, and yet it just blows my mind. And then the greatest thing of it all is I'll take on his nature. You don't know what life is like being the right kind of person or anything until you take on the nature of God. That's what I'm looking forward to. This day in the world that I'm in now, I'm going to leave this old body behind me. And the sin that's in this body is going to be destroyed. And it won't be any part of me left here. And the part that's most important, the soul and the spirit, will be with God. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm looking forward to. And the peace of Christ that rule in the hearts of you, which you were called into one body, and thankful be ye. I look at sometimes, we all see people that's out begging, and they look drunk, and they look disheveled, and they look like they're derelicts and everything. And I've come to the conclusion that I thank God for me being born in Tennessee, and parents who sired me out of wedlock but got married, and brought me in and brought me up. And my mother was one of the finest women in the world, and my father likewise. But I think about, they didn't leave me and straggle in where I was, have to make it by myself. I thank God for him bringing me into where I am now. Bringing me up through the right channels. And not being a derelict or a bum. And I thank God for his placement of me into that body. And I thank him most of all for all of my kids and my grandkids. And the wife that I've got. And I thank God for all of these things. But I could have been like the people who I see on the street. The people who I watch, and they, some look so out of place and so messed up that it hurts me to even watch them. And my wife would tell you, when I see them, I got to go in my pocket and give them something. I don't have much, but I'll try to give them what I've got. Because it didn't have to be that way with me. I could have been like them. But I wasn't. I was brought up in Tennessee, and we moved to Lansing, but my father and my mother always was a family. And when I look at some of these people, they don't know, and in the school system, they don't know what a family is. But it's all by election and decree of God. Not by what my parents did. They did it because it was decreed for them to do it. And I thank God for that. And I look at that, and it says, the peace of Christ, let him rule in the hearts of you, which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, the word of Christ, let dwell in you richly. All wisdom. You know why it says, you know why the Apostle Paul says all wisdom?
Because in the book of 1 Corinthians, he tells us, we have the mind of Christ. If we got the mind of Christ, then we should be able to be in all wisdom because we got the right person to follow. Teaching and admonishing yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and songs. Put on from the everlasting view, from the view of eternity, to down here, the broad view. Take a look from eternity down here and see that we have everything that we need. We don't have to go out for nothing. In Christ. In everything whatsoever you do, in the word and work do, in the name of Jesus, giving thanks. First of all, if you are a person that's employed, you have responsibility to go to work. The Bible says a man won't work, then he shouldn't eat. Amen. And then you got a book, a roll book there with the rules and regulations. You ought to read that book and become familiar with it. Then the third thing is, if it says and you start at 8 o'clock, you're there 5 minutes to 8. And then if he comes in late, I don't take his card and punch in for him. He comes and punches for himself. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's what we do. And then we get fired. Well, that was racism. That's our crutch. It's racism. Everything that you're supposed to be doing, do it. To the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody has to come to you or should come to you and say, you're doing this or you. There's a possibility you're stealing something. That shouldn't be, and you're a Christian also. You just take it and you deal with it. But I get so sick and tired of something happening. Every time something happens to us, well, it's racism. That's today's crutch. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, then you're doing it to the best of your ability. And nobody has to come to you and say this. And if they come, then it's going to be on them. Because be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whosoever sows a man sows that what he shall also reap. Everything, whatever you do, God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks.
Amen.
There's a lot of things. I when I was coming along, there was a lot of things I didn't want to do. But one thing about it, I would always work. I did a lot of crazy jobs. I remember one summer there was no job for the kids in Lansing. And the only job was picking pickles. I met the man there at the truck every day and went out and picked pickles. It was like picking cotton, believe me. But whatever it would be done to get an honest dollar, I would do it. Because I had the work, I just wanted to be to do the right thing. But it wasn't because of me, it was because of God had decreed for me to do it. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Gotta go some scriptures on this. Yeah.
First Peter 3:16. First Peter 3:16. But with meekness and fear, conscience, having a good in order that while ye spoken against may be shamed by the ones, what's that? By abusing of you the good of Christ's conduct, good in Christ's conduct. No, that's the wrong one. Peter 3:1. Okay, here it is. Likewise, wives, submitting yourselves to your own husbands, in order that even if any disobey the word through the wives' conduct without a word, that they will be gained, their will may be gained. And if I have other scriptures here, but I'm not going to dwell a whole lot on this because the Apostle Paul does address, he got Genesis 3:16 and Ephesians 5:22, and he does address the subject of wives and their husbands. And the thing is, what it comes down to is treat your wife as you want to be treated, or treated her as a union of man and woman, male and female, and not you. You do this, you do that. Looking like some old scallywag. You do this, you do that. Fist pounding and everything. Look like a fool. Husband, love your wives. Be not bittersweet towards them. Be not bitter towards them. Ephesians 5:25-26. And I'm going to just go to that right quick, but I'm going to say some words on that. Because 5:25. The husband, love ye your wives, as also Christ loved the church and himself gave up on behalf of it, in order it may be sanctified, he might sanctify cleansing by the washing of the word, by word. You know, I'm a very non-violent person. I try not to get upset. But when you start to come in and invade my house and invade Leo or my kids, then that brings out the other half of me. I'm not going to let you come in, I'm willing to die for my family. I'm not going to just let you come through and just do anything you want to my family. Because that's what God has given me. And I cherish my family more than anything on earth. I'm not going to let you come in and just do anything you want to my family. There's a front door, you can see it starts and stop right there. And we should feel that way. There shouldn't be where you got to worry about somebody coming. And you know what? When you have it that way, then everything is set. You know where you can come and how far you can come, and that's it. Now, I love my wife and I love my kids and everything. I'm not going to have you come and come in and come through my house and do anything you want to do. I'm not going to do it. Then he gives some advice to children. Children, obey your parents with all respect. And he says here, And it's the first one, basically, go there with Ephesians 6, chapter 6, 1 and 2. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is first commandment with promise. And in the Greek it says, the children obey ye, the parents of you, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor the father of thee and the mother, which is commandment, the first with a promise. If we had been doing the right thing with raising our kids, we wouldn't have the problems that we got now. We brought them up and didn't bring them up in church. Didn't do this, we didn't do that. But you know what? I can't say anything because you know what? It's all about God. And it was decreed by God that they was, whatever way that they came up and they went out into the world, it was decreed by God. And there's nothing that we can do about it or say about it. But as far as me and my house, I'm going to try to serve the Lord, but if they were brought up and they went out and strayed and they did all kinds of things, there's nothing I can do about it. Fathers, provoke your children. Lest they be disheartened. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians 2 and 7. Up in him and being conformed in the faith as ye were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And that's what we need to do with our kids, and that way we will provoke them on to godliness.
Amen.
And that they will be doing the right thing. I want to say to you that I thank God for there's more things, but I'm not going to finish that. But I went through the whole chapter, and I didn't finish it. I got about four verses to go, but I'm going to leave that because it's time for wind up. Just to say this and wind up, that we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes.
And we ought to be thankful to God for what he's done for us. And whatever, we have a chance to study the Lord or do the things of the Lord, then we ought to do it. Because the time is coming. We're not going to be around that much longer. Everybody in here is going to kick out. And when we kick out, it's too late. We have to stand before God and give an account for everything that we've done. And I want to do the best that I can while I can, while I'm here. And I hope the same thing will happen to you. Because everything here is temporary. Nothing here is permanent. And we have to keep that in mind. Everything here is temporary. And it grieves me to see how a lot of times we don't do what we should do as far as God is concerned. But I have a pastor's heart, and I would love you forever. No matter what the deal is, I love the people of the church. Whether in the Kingdom Church, the Law Church, or the Grace Church, I love them all. And there's no difference in them. Some just know a little bit more than others. But there's no difference in them. We all have been saved by Jesus Christ. And I pray to God, and I hope that we will see that. And I just want to thank you for listening to me as well as you did. Amen. And I thank God for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, give God a hand, praise. Give God.